Well, I would say I'm sure Brother Dave will not. I have to agree. I have to think about it this way personally. That in verse 2, the one who's doing the work is the Father.
Yeah, right.
In verse 6, the one who's doing the work is men. Because men gather these and throw them into the fire. And I certainly believe that when it comes to verse 6, it is the professing so-called individuals. But in chapter 2, there's a reality of a believer. Verse 2, I'm sorry. Forgive me, verse 2. And simply because the Spirit of God uses something right away. After he talks of that, you're going to say, well, I'm not bearing fruit, then I'm losing my salvation. And right away, if you look at the approach of the Spirit of God, out of nowhere, the Lord says, but ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And who is he talking to that ye are clean? It is regardless of our responsibility, regardless if we failed in bearing fruit or not, our position will never change. And that position is based upon the Word of God and the work of Christ and the indwelling of the Spirit of God. So this is why I feel personally, I'm sure Brother Dave will excuse me for deferring with him, that in verse 2, I see mostly it is genuine Christians that are not bearing fruit. And what happens sometimes? It's like the assembly of Ephesians. Repent, or I will remove your candlestick. And we read from the history that God removed the candlestick because they didn't repent. And this is in the same measure. If a branch is not going to bring fruit, God will replace him. Or God will bring someone else who is willing to bear fruit for the pleasure and delight of God. I just want to bring verse 3, that ye are clean. And dear brother, dear sister, if you know a few shortages, your failures, we all have failures and we all come short. And our position is secure in Christ. But our security in Christ does not take away from our responsibility in this world to bear fruit for Him.
And that's why I say, John, that the Father in His governmental dealings with us would do that. The Father also deals with us. The Father disciplines and so forth. So the Father who is doing, looking over all these fruits and He sees that this one is not bearing fruit, He takes it away. That's a governmental aspect of things. However, we go on to see that there is the purging. Now, that ought to make me secure because we may think that that doesn't bring in security. The fact that one is looking over me and that if I am falling short, that he can bring me up and prune me where men cannot do it, that tells me that I am secure because there, later on it tells me that the Father loves me. And that's why he does it.
I think we also can see conclusively that we're talking about the Father's husbandry, and he has, his ways are perfect. So that his handling, remember we had in the preceding chapter, no one can take them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all. No one can take them from his hand. So if he's purging here, it's still in his hand. And one other thing, in agreement with what Brother Bob has brought out about lifting up, this is a verse in Acts 4. Takes the same Greek word, verse 24, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. So the lifting up here is product of God's work in their life. I think that's what you have there, only it's for a different purpose. It's to purge.
I'd like to, one thing that has been helpful to me also in verse 6 is to notice that the Lord Jesus changes his language from the previous verses as far as verse 6 is concerned. He's been saying, for example, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. But verse 6, it's not if you do not abide in me. It's if someone would not abide in me, then this is what will happen. And it seems that in that also it implies that this is not one of the disciples that he's intending to speak of in verse 6. So just to support what has been said about verse 6 with that additional observation, verse 2, John mentioned the Ephesian church. We might also put Ananias and Sapphira in that example, where here were some who were causing such shame to the testimony of the Lord Jesus by bearing bad fruit, you might say, that he perhaps removed them. So there are these different ways to look at that verse. But just to notice that verse 2 talks about the purging or the pruning. And verse 3 says, you are already clean, and that word clean is the same word as the purging, the pruning. So he's pruning us, he's purging us, he's cleansing us, in verse 2, to bear more fruit, and that's the continual side of our development as his own. But we are already cleansed, we are already purged, same word in verse 3, because of the word that he's spoken to us. So that's the once and for all side, and so verse 2 and 3 seem that they may be related, they're also related in that way. What I'd like to suggest that we could focus our attention on is that the expectation is that the branch will bear fruit. And perhaps we can kind of turn our thoughts in that direction to say, this is what is expected of a branch. The Lord Jesus said, we are his sheep. My sheep know my voice, they follow me. He doesn't say, it was pointed out, we don't try to become one of his sheep, we are his sheep. We don't try to become one of his branches, we are the branches. And these discussions are also important, but I wonder if in the time remaining we could look at the aspect of the expectation, the normal Christian experience of bearing fruit. And how does that take place? What does the Scripture say in these verses about from the Lord Jesus himself about that process of bearing fruit, and what are the results in our own lives, and what are the results of the fruit itself when it is seen?
Just to say, Stephen, not to prolong this at all, and the brethren can stone me after, like John said, but that's all right. Just to emphasize why I differed slightly with what the brethren generally were saying, and I think it would give opportunity for me personally and for others as well to explore this even a little more, and personally. But when it comes to this matter of every branch in me not bearing fruit, I think one of the things we must conclude that every believer bears fruit. Every believer bears fruit. There is not one believer that doesn't bear fruit. It depends on how much fruit is being borne. And I think that that's where the truth comes in. So that the branch that is not bearing fruit at all is a branch then that is really not connected to the vine. But the branch that bears fruit is the branch that gets purged. The purging occurs so that there might be the production of more fruit, and then most of all, most fruit. So that's just the line that I go on, and as I said, I'm not going to impose it on the dear brethren. I believe that Judas is one of those branches in me that did not bear fruit. And as a result, for me, verses 2 and verse 6 becomes somewhat of an identical case. Because in verse 6 now, what happens to that branch that doesn't bear fruit, it's now dried up, gathered, cast into the fire. But just not to prolong it, just to express what my feelings are in terms of those verses.
The Lord Jesus bore fruit. More fruit, much fruit. And fruit bearing is for not for himself, but it's for God the Father. So whatever it may be, we want to bear fruit as branches.
So it's important now to approach of the thought of bearing fruit is that the first thing that the branch has to understand that without me he can do nothing. And brethren, we cannot bear fruits for the delight of God in our own energy and our own efforts. It has to be something that is derived from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing, if you will, Steve, I want to say that the first principle we have to learn in bearing fruits for God is to come to the understanding that without Christ we can do nothing.